So we're back. We're still in good old quarantina, and
don't make it sound fun and cute. It's not.
Is it not? I feel as though we'll look back on this time and this period in our lives and be like, ah, that was such a weird time. I feel like I talked to my friends a lot more. It really made me, it reminds me of being in like middle school. Except for, instead of going
to people are dying.
I mean, were people not dying in middle school? I mean, we're from the age of school shootings. That was happening quite frequently.
Yeah, but we were allowed outside of the house.
Yeah, but being outside the house is equally as dangerous. Because physical violence. Well, now it's just biological, like, warfare. Or whatever.
It's not warfare.
It feels like it. I don't know who let Pandora out of the box, but I think
she's out there.
I think Corona probably came from, see, watch this podcast get taken down just because I'm about to say a conspiracy theory. Isn't there like a place in like the middle of like nowhere where snow is, where they keep like germs or whatever, like a genetic makeup of like all of the germs or something like that? I don't know. I know there's like a plant place, like where they keep seeds or whatever.
Are you perhaps thinking of a plot from X-Men?
Am I? I don't know.
That's exactly what that sounds like. I've never heard of that.
Is it? I don't know. But it does sound like something that was cooked up in a lab somewhere that was just like opened up. It was just like, oops, now, you know, Jane forgot to go drop that off in at the Disease Emporium, and now people are dying.
No, I totally agree. Like, we're like living in the beginning of a Marvel movie. Like,
can we skip to the middle where all the fun stuff happens? But I don't want to be living in the city that gets destroyed.
Can we skip to the end where the credits are rolling and I don't have to watch this anymore?
Or the after credit scene where we find out
that we're all
things aren't
eating
over.
Middle Eastern food. Yeah.
Ooh. Well, that does sound fun. See, now you're making
Wasn't that the first Avengers movie?
Maybe. I don't remember. I really don't remember the first Avengers movie that much. There's so many more. I've seen, like, literally all of the Marvel movies, so it's hard to remember little bits. I just may remember the main plots and how the movie made me feel, really.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really all you can walk away from with a movie, is a general feeling.
Speaking of that, let's talk about our first topic. Well, let's introduce our topic.
Oh, so our topic, well, it's kind of a hodgepodge, but the only the thing that's really connecting this is women loving women. Or helping women. Or just female-centric shows, really.
This is... I feel like female-centric shows is, like, really broad.
I know, but I've been apparently watching a lot of them lately, and I was just like, you know, I knew there was going to be a big shift after, you know, the Me Too movement and whatnot, and they were going to bolster more female prominence in things, and I'm all for it, but it's just, like, suddenly I realize I'm just like, there are... I'm like, oh... This is, like, an all-female cast. Like, literally, I have not seen a man once or in, like, several scenes. And I'm like, I didn't notice until, like, earlier today when I was watching Motherland. I was just like, oh, yeah, I forgot there's dudes here. Because I just saw one randomly and I was just like, oh, yeah.
Is that the other show that you've been watching?
The Witch Show that's on Freeform?
Yeah.
Yes, it's actually very good.
Okay, sure.
It'll be just like how Magicians, how I got you to watch later on, and then you were like, well, you know what?
Yeah, we'll see in like season four.
Yeah, that's exact. That is roughly how long it took you to get into the Magicians.
Speaking of which, to be fair, that's me with like a lot of things.
Yeah. So. I do still have to watch the very last episode of that. I think I'm keeping myself from doing it on purpose.
I do that with a lot of stuff. I still haven't seen the last episode of like several things.
I haven't
like shows that I enjoyed.
I haven't seen the last half of the final season of Brothers and Sisters, that old ABC show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I watched half the season and I was just like, I feel like I just didn't want to say goodbye. Because I know Sally Field was going to make some big speech and make me cry. And I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to do that.
I don't feel like crying now or ever.
Exactly. So now it's in a trunk somewhere where I will watch it someday. But anyway.
Oh, well.
So we watched several things. One of which was, I got you to watch this, but this was, I don't even remember how I happened upon it. I think I was just going through, like, Hulu stuff that they had on there, and I was just like, what is this? And I remember us briefly talking about maybe watching it for another episode, but I don't remember what topic it was.
I don't either. I did not know what this was. I didn't know if it was a teen show, if it, or not a show. I knew it was like a movie. It was like, was it a made for TV movie or was it a Hulu thing?
I think, oh, it was a made for TV movie because it was Nickelodeon. And then I was just like, okay, why?
That's what I thought. But
I was also like, why Nickelodeon? That seems so weird. But
yeah, well, you know, but was it Disney? No, it was Nickelodeon. But the girl is from Disney.
Yeah, the girl who plays, well, we watched Daphne and Velma, and the girl who played Daphne was the, she wasn't a villain, she was Aurora's daughter in the Descendants trilogy. Mm-hmm. And
she was the villain in the third one.
Yeah, she became a villain because she was like, I was a good girl, but you made me mean because you stole my boyfriend. Because that happens. I love Riverdale.
Totally, all the time. That's what women are like.
Again, I love Riverdale, but so in this one,
she should be on Riverdale. I could see her on Riverdale.
Well, if she wasn't on Charmed, probably she would have made true. She would have made a pretty good Veronica, I think. But I do like Camila Mendes.
Ooh, I can see that.
I do like Camila Mendes. The thing is her face just always seems like she's making the same face. Like, it's a default face. And you're just going to get that the entire time.
I can see that, for sure. She doesn't have a huge range
of expressions. Or at least I haven't seen it. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, with shows like that, it's always hard because you're like, oh, is that person a bad actor? Or is this just bad? Yeah.
Exactly. We'll see when she pulls a Nina Dobrev and then leaves. And then fades into obscurity. But,
yeah, I was like, what did Nina Dobrev ever do?
Like I said, fade into obscurity. No, she's on a CBS show, I think, that I'm not watching. I think she's on that one with, the guy from New Girl who played Schmidt.
Okay.
Yeah. He's on a show on CBS with, what's his face? The Cedric the Entertainer.
What a mix of people they've got.
Yeah, I think the premise is they play white people who moved into a black neighborhood.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is it a sitcom? Is it a, like a laugh track?
It's a live studio audience, so yeah, laugh track.
Interesting.
Will and Grace is filmed in front of a live studio audience.
But anyway, yeah, I screamed when I saw that it was her from Descendants because I didn't, like I said, I knew nothing about this. I didn't know if it was like adults or teens or whatever. I was like thinking maybe it was a little bit of a mature like retelling.
It's a 20-year-old.
What to expect.
It's a 20-year-old who can pass for a teenager and her much, much older friend with bad bangs. That's what I got from the movie.
I love that actress has been put in the worst wigs of all time. Like, I think she wins for, like, being in the worst wigs because remember her hair from Descendants 1 where it was just, it was literally like flat ironed, but like also curled.
Oh, yes. I do remember that. That was a very strange styling choice. And then, well, I did like the wig in the third one. Because you remember in the third one, they actually like went all out for the budget for the wigs. So they were actually pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. The third one wasn't, it wasn't bad.
Because she had the multi,
but her wig
one.
in the, yeah, I actually, that one wasn't too bad. It's just, I just feel like her whole career has been wigs.
Well, yeah, the Daphne wig was really bad. I remember that being very
bad. Oh, it was bad. It was like Party City, like level terrible.
Yeah, they, I don't understand why they did that. I'm like, it's not like a crazy hair color. They could have achieved that very easily.
Yeah, because I think she has like naturally very straight hair, right? Like, or not straight, but like,
it was like, you know, kind of curly, so it would have had volume.
Yeah. I mean, I like that they, this was a mixed race, Daphne. That was cool. Her mom was cool.
Yeah. And then it made me question, I was just like, wait, is this actress actually just half black? And I think I looked it up and she is.
She is, because I think they, she is in Descendants as well, because they show her, one of her family members, it and they're black.
I think it was her grandmother.
Yeah.
And she seems so, like a hysterical old a hysterical old woman for a moment.
Yeah. She was like, I don't like you.
I'm like,
okay. You're from the island.
I'm like, thanks, Grandma. Get back in the cage.
pokes her. But yeah, what else do I have to say besides that the wigs? Oh, you know, I have to say that I liked the costume design and the set design. I thought it was fun.
I did too.
I thought it was nice to look at, and that is, you know me, like, that's, I'll like.
You'll go with anything that at least doesn't look cheap.
Yeah. And if that's something that for me is like, if that's good enough in a movie or television show, like, I'll enjoy it. I'll probably enjoy it.
I mean, I had a lot of thoughts on this. For one, it's only like an hour and 7 minutes, I believe. It's not even like that long. It's not even a full 90
minutes.
Yeah,
because it's TV, yeah.
Yeah. So what's interesting, well, that's not always, because some made for TV. I mean, Descendants was made for TV, and that bitch is almost 3 hours.
Yeah, well, that's Disney. They can do whatever they want.
So, with this movie, what's interesting is how short it is, but it feels much longer. I remember initially when we were watching it, because I watched this with, like, two of our other friends, and I was just like, hey, let's just watch this, because it's on my list of things that I said I was going to watch at some point, and it seems fun and stupid. And boy, was I correct. I did. Now, don't get me wrong, I did enjoy it. I love the fact that Daphne and Velma, they decided to go in a completely different direction with it, where, I mean, Velma's always been the smart girl, and her and Daphne have always been seen as, like, the best of friends. I've never known the origin of why they're friends. Even in this, they didn't really explain that. They were kind of like pen pals that, like, met in a conspiracy board, I believe. Which makes sense.
Something
I
like that, like, yeah.
I really liked that. I was just like, yes, I would love to, I would watch a whole fucking show about that. Don't get me, like, we don't need Scooby, same. We don't need Shaggy, we don't need Fred. We don't need none of those other fuckers.
Well, that's what I, like, loved. I was thinking about it, and I was like, I love that somebody, like, the concept of this was just somebody was like, okay, we're going to take the Scooby-Doo gang, but fuck all the male members. It's just about these two. I was like, yeah, that's, I love that.
Well,
I'm behind that.
I'm sure they were trying to do something geared towards that teen demographic of girls. They're trying to hit, like, I don't know. I feel like that would have hit, like, a wider, like, a pretty wide range. Like, you might have been able to get, like, the preteens and some of the teenagers with that movie. But, I don't know. I enjoyed that aspect. And I was just like, if that were the concept of a show, I think that would be very good. Especially because I believe with the Scooby gang, if they were going to do that, they would have to make them a lot more ragtag these days. They would probably do something along the lines of, like, almost Breakfast Club. But I would prefer if it wasn't that way. Like, I would prefer if they did, like, a flip where it was like Velma's actually rich, but she doesn't like money and shit like that. She's a nerdy girl who wants to just do mystery shit. And then, like, Daphne's from, like, a middle class or lower class family, but she dresses nice because, mm-hmm. like, she does all of her own clothes or something like that. See, I'm writing it myself now.
I'm on board. Let's do this. Let's write this pilot.
I don't think Scooby should be a real person. I think he should be a robot or something.
A real person? He's not a real person. He's a dog.
And instead, he's not a dog in this. He's a robot built by Shaggy. Shaggy likes to do robotics.
But he's also a stoner.
Exactly. That makes so much sense. He's just like, robots are cool, man.
See, I think because, like, ever since, like, they did, like, Riverdale and, like, Nancy Drew and, like, Sabrina, I'm like, where is my gritty Scooby-Doo reboot? Yeah. But I think instead of it, like, being gritty, it should be fun.
I agree. What I mean? Oh, campy. That would be, yeah, like, instead, if it was, what if it were gritty and campy at the same time?
Like, no, like, campy, but it has depth to it. Like, the characters have depth to them, because, like, that's what... I can hear the echo in my room. It's freaking me out. That's what the original, that was so good about it, was like, it was fun, it was campy, but you loved the characters, you know, you got into it. The mysteries were kind of just like, well, we know what's going to happen. They're going to pull off the mask and it's the guy from the house. It's like, okay. So that's my take on it.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking in my head, like, what would be the catalyst for them solving mysteries on the regular?
On the reg? I mean, I think, like, if it was just, like, you could do a very cliche, like, oh, we all moved to school at the same time or something. Or, like,
I got, you know,
like, somebody's the new kid. And then pulls them all together, like that sort of thing.
Fred. It can be Fred. Because I don't like Fred. So we got to do something with him to make him interesting. The only Fred I like is Freddie Prinze Jr.
Totally. 100%. I think that, yeah, if he were the new kid, and then he was like
a loser.
The athlete.
I think he should be a loser. Because Fred was always kind of like that alpha male mm-hmm. character, so I think instead he should be a loser. Like, flip him with
Shaggy. Well, he could have been... Well, like... Well, I think they should all be sort of like, quote-unquote, losers in their own right.
Yeah.
Say he was, like, a loser at his old school, and he's trying to, like, reinvent himself at the new school.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, decides that he's gonna, like, do this. This is how he's gonna, like... reinvent himself, but he also has to be athletic because that's just his role.
Yeah.
He has to be somewhat of a jock.
I mean, I think that could work.
Anyway,
I definitely think
he should be Latino.
We've got to get ethnicity in there somewhere. I mean, it could work.
I don't know why. Well, I think everybody should be like, it should be like a very like mixed cast.
Well, they should. If you're going to go with Freddy, then yeah, I would prefer him to be Latin, because then you could do Frederico, and then it's not as annoying, because I feel like Fred is not a name you hear often. It's short for Alfred, and the only Alfred I know of is, like, my grandfather.
Short for Frederick.
Is it?
Yeah, that was my grandfather's name.
Oh, right, I forgot Frederick's name. Frederick Douglass.
Yeah, Frederick.
He was a person.
Yeah, Frederick Douglass is my grandfather.
I mean, that tracks, right?
Forgot to tell you guys. I'm hundreds of years old.
This is actually a ghost podcast.
Also black.
Okay, the only thing I didn't get about this whole Daphne and Velma thing is why Velma from the jump decided to be a total cunt to Daphne when she came there. She was just like, you can't be my friend or whatever. And I'm like, why? Why can't she be your friend?
I didn't get that either. I didn't get that either. And I was like, wait, did I miss what happened here? Like, did I miss, like, why she didn't want to be her friend? I don't know. That was very odd. And then later she said, like, oh, I changed my whole identity to, like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? I don't know. I feel like I missed a good portion of this, but...
No, you didn't.
I also feel like I didn't need to watch.
I mean, you didn't. That was just, like, a whole bit that I feel like they skipped over. Like, that's a part of the movie that wasn't shot. Was just her changing her being this entirely different person and then being like, oh, I need to change my personality so I'm not, like, at the top of this list and then become a fucking zombie. Also, the woman...
Or did it just get cut out?
I mean, it could be that as well. That sounds like it may have also happened.
Yeah, who knows?
I just love the fact that the villain was... the woman, and I was just like, ah, they pulled a Sky High.
Well, she, like, was obviously the villain from the beginning. There was, like, a very clear shot where she was the villain, and I was like, this wasn't a twist.
Oh, do you mean the shot where she, like, looks over her shoulder and she's like, da-da-da!
Yeah, there was, like, she was, like, at the locker, and then she, like, turned around menacingly and, like, just, like, glared down the hallway, and I was like, okay, hello.
Yeah, exactly.
Although I did like the twist that she was actually 26 years old and just had been going to high school. I was like, they didn't really touch on how she had, like, fooled the administration either. And I was like, okay.
I know. I love that. They're just, she's just like, I'm 15. And they're just like, no.
Well, to be fair, that principal was very stupid.
I thought everyone at that school seemed stupid. Like, all the teachers seemed weirdly stupid. Like, they seemed to not know what was going on. I was just like, wouldn't you notice if several of your students just suddenly were really bad?
Well, I think he was the science teacher. Oh, where he was hilarious.
Like, well, was he was at one point. He was like, what's wrong with him?
Yeah, he was just like, he was really funny. I was like, this actor should be in more stuff. Because he just, like, had this one line where he was like, what is wrong with him? And I was like, you're great.
I know. I was glad that someone acknowledged that because that was really bothering me. Also, I was trying to figure out how that father just kept, like, sneaking around places and they didn't see him.
Oh, that was such a stupid, like, I felt like, I don't know what they were, like, going for there. I was like... Her whole thing is that she, like, is clumsy and stuff. So, like, why not just go with that? Like, why do the whole thing where she thought she was lucky and then her dad, it was just her dad the whole time, which, like, also, like, some of the stuff, I was like, how is that possible that he did that?
Exactly.
Anyway.
But we'll just suspend disbelief. It's for children. And I'm sure that's what they would have said if we asked them a question. They're like, this is for kids. You're overthinking it. I'm like, whatever. Okay.
Am I overthinking it or are you not thinking about it at all?
That's the real question.
I think my favorite part was when they decided to spy on the one white guy who they thought was the villain for a second. Mm-hmm. And he was like, his friends were having a conversation, his, like, stupid jock friends. And the one guy was like, you know, sometimes I don't think I'll be a good dad. And then the other guy was like, no, I think you'll be a great dad. Sometimes I wish you were my dad. I was like, who wrote this?
That was such a weird moment. I was just like, this literally was written by, like, women who have no idea what boys talk about.
They're like, I think it was written by gay men.
Or something, I really because do. I was like, no? I don't know. Honestly, I haven't had very many conversations with straight men. I feel like most of those conversations stem from just observations in the room. There's nothing deep there. it's either just an observational conversation or nothing at all. There's no talking.
Yeah.
Except for with my cousin. I guess, I mean, we just talk about, like, stuff that's happening. Like, current events.
True. Well, cousins are cousins.
Yeah. So that's a different thing. Yeah. But anyway, moving on down the line of things we watched.
Yeah, overall, I have to say that I did enjoy it. I thought it was fun. It was campy. But I like trash.
Yes.
So,
I mean,
moving on.
It does, again, percolate the mind for a Scooby-Doo live-action show, and I think it should happen. Netflix.
I absolutely think
I've got some ideas for you.
I think we should do it. I think we should write it in quarantine.
I mean, we do say that we should do a lot of things and we never actually do them. So maybe we should finally follow through on something.
You know, other that than would this be podcast. Amazing of us. That's true. We do this.
Sometimes.
We have done it. Shut up. We have stuff going on.
So we watched more things. So we watched Never Have I Ever, the new Mindy Kaling joint.
Yeah. We did watch that. And I have to say, I don't think I would have watched it if you hadn't recommended it to me.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know, because I it seemed a little too like tweeny.
Mm. I got for me. I do get that. I understand. It's got, which is weird because it has a lot of very adult themes. So you're thinking it's going to skew older.
Yes and no. I also like, I loved the Mindy Project when it first came out, but sort of like really didn't like it later. So I don't know, maybe like my love for Mindy Kaling has kind of faltered a little bit. I don't know.
There was definitely a moment in this show where she like falls into a pool, and I was just like, now, and this picks up where Mindy Kaling falls into the pool in the beginning of the Mindy Project, and then that, it just jumps straight to that series. Yep. She wakes up and she's like in her 30s.
It's 13 going on 30, but with Mindy Kaling and a pool.
I think I might watch that, actually.
Yeah, she has definitely fallen into a pool at some point, because she's now written it several times.
Maybe it's just a thing that happens. Like, people fall into pools a lot in California.
I think it's something that happened to her specifically, and she wants to write about it.
It was a very traumatic experience she keeps reliving.
You know, we all have that one thing that we relive in our heads.
Yeah. So when I started watching this show, and mind you, I definitely watched it in one literal sitting when it came out. Literally the day it came out, me and a friend of ours were just like, he was like, oh yeah, that new show came out. And I was just like, oh, okay. And actually, I didn't even want to watch it right then, because I was like, I do want to watch this, but not like right now. And then we watched the entire show that night. And so there's that. I, like, on first digestion, I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I was just like, it's something fun for the kids, something for them to watch, because, you know, I constantly talk about, I feel like there's not, like, really teen shows anymore. They're really more, like, young adult shows that are geared towards teenagers.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of thing. This is an actual show about teens, and the girl who's playing the main girl is an actual teenager, so I'm like,
yeah,
wow, that's refreshing.
That was refreshing.
So I thought that was fun. Although the Asian girl who plays her best friend, I was just like, aren't you a little old to be playing this? And she's not really.
What is she from?
Santa Clarita.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I was like, she looks so fucking familiar, and I didn't have the energy to look it up.
Yeah. I've seen her in other things, too, but I remember her more so from that. But I just remember...
How old is she?
I think we looked this up because I was like, how old are these other people? Because, you know, usually they seem older. But she's like 22 or 23 or something, so she's not that old.
Because I just recently, I saw, so the kid from Santa Clarita Diet, the neighbor kid, mm-hmm. he was in something else I was watching recently, and I looked him up, and he's like 23, and I was like, damn, okay. I didn't realize he was that young. I thought he was older.
Well, we're used to like 30-year-olds playing like teenagers, so...
I guess. I just felt a little weird because I was like, he's so cute. And then I looked it up and he was like 23. And I was like, that's younger than me. I feel weird now.
I feel strange about this. At least he's not 18. That's always when you feel the most uncomfortable. You're like, well, I should go sit in a corner for a while.
That is very true. I feel like I did that recently with somebody too. I was like, I have to look this up to see if they're older than 18. And they were, so it was fine. Anyway. So yeah, well, it is kind of interesting because she definitely feels like a teen, and then the other actors around her felt a little older to me. Mm. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's because they seemed more level-headed and well-adjusted while she seemed very manic.
That is true. Like her, like, it was interesting because all of her problems kind of stemmed from, like, her doing wild shit. Which, like, you know, obviously there was a catalyst for her. There, you know, there was background to why she was kind of acting the way she was acting. But, like, her, like, all of her problems were, like, her just being insane. And then all her friends, like, had actual shit going on in their lives. And I was just like, okay.
I mean, yeah. Especially because, I mean, it was funny when we found out, like, the friend had, like, the mom who abandoned her. But the real funny thing is, like,
the mom was so funny.
I know. I love her. I want her to come back. But what's really funny is we spent a good bit just wondering how the logistics of her mom not being around worked. Because it was like, she's been here the whole time. And we're just like, wait, how does that work? How is she, like, is she in a house? Like, is she staying in a house? Where's the mom staying? Is she staying with friends? Like, what's... We're really just, like, trying to work out the whole logistics of, like, where does she live and how is the mom not coming in contact with her?
No, because I also thought that, but they definitely mention it because she mentions... The girl mentions her dad and her stepmom. Mm-hmm. And then she also... The mom mentions that she's, like, sharing an apartment with, like, 4 20-year-olds or something has a throwaway line about it.
Yeah, so we figured out where the mom is. We're like, oh, okay. But, like, so she's paying rent at another place but also paying to live in a house? Like, where is the girl living? Like, really, that's
she's
what
living with her. She's living with her dad.
Okay, so she doesn't live with her mom at all?
No.
Okay.
That was the whole point.
Oh, okay. See, now that all makes sense. See, what I thought it was, because the way they depicted it before, because they had, like, that, like, they had that flashback scene where, like, the little girl was, like, sitting on stairs or some shit, and then the mom, like, left because she was going to go work on that cruise. So that's why I was confused. I was just like, whose house is that?
Yeah, I just assumed, like, they didn't establish it very well, but I assumed that they were divorced and she lived with her dad and her stepmom.
Oh, okay. All right, well, I guess that makes sense. All we really needed to do was see the dad once. Like, just a flyby or something. Or, like, her dad picking her up, and I would have been like, oh, okay.
Well, to be fair, they really spent zero time, like, giving depth to the other characters besides the fact that they just had these random plot lines going on. Like, it really... I mean, it was about the main girl... And for as much as they, like, had other plot lines, they didn't really give much depth to other plot lines. So I just think other things were, like, maybe not established as well.
Yeah. Although, what's really...
Except, what's his face? The white kid.
Yes! Exactly. Okay. I have a lot of feelings about that. So initially, when he's first introduced, I'm like, oh, no. I was like, please don't let him be the love interest.
But you knew he was going to be, because it's Mindy Kaling, and that's her BJ Novak insert.
Yeah. I knew.
I'm like, Mindy, we all see through you. Like, we've all seen the Mindy Project. That was, like, flush with white men. First of all, I am pretty sure that the reason this show is so diverse is because she got a ton of flack for how not diverse the Mindy Project was. I fully believe that.
I mean, it could be, but also, it was on Fox, so you kind of have to think about that.
Mm-hmm. That was her. She loves the white man.
I mean, I'm saying two things can be true. Two things can be wholly true at the same time. I think that she loves the white man, and she may have gotten a few notes from the old Fox man who said, pull a white on it. If you're going to bring the spices, we need the white rice.
You can have a little bit of spice.
You're the spice on top of the white rice.
As a treat. Anyway, go ahead. How did you feel about the, what's his name?
Oh, okay. So initially I despised him. And of course they had to humanize him. And I was just like, whatever. So, I mean, they did all that heavy lifting to make him a nice guy who's like misunderstood. And I'm like, I mean, I guess you were kind of like a total dick before anyway, so I can only imagine how much of a dick you were before in general.
Yeah.
Like, us knowing this additional information about you doesn't humanize you per se, especially since I don't understand why his character started to behave slightly differently.
I don't either. It was like a really strange, like, 180, that it was like, oh, all of a sudden, because we understand where he's coming from, like, his character is just gonna act differently.
I mean, sure, if you're trying to go from a whole, like, Jahari Window perspective, like, perceivedly, we were, like, when he would say certain things, we were perceiving him a certain way because we didn't understand him. But now, since we understand him, we see him differently. But his character was actually written wholly differently. Later on, like, the second half of the season is different.
Yes, totally. I mean, so what I found interesting, I did feel more sympathetic to him towards the end of the season. And I think what happened was he was the only other character that got developed besides her. And besides the fact that she was the main character and I, like, sympathized with what she was going through, I didn't really, not that I didn't like her, but I don't know. There were, like, just a few points where I was like, why are we supposed to be behind this character? You know what I mean?
Do you know what's funny about that? It's almost like the opposite of Rebecca Bunch. Where it's like, yeah. Rebecca does crazy things and you're supposed to be just like, why am I rooting for her? It's like, for me, when it came to Rebecca, I felt like I just understood so much about her that, like, even though totally. She would do these things, I'm like, I still feel I should give you a certain series of, you know, leeway. I mean, she did have a dead dad, but a lot of that, I'm just like, girl, you are not doing the work to try and get through this. You're just like, literally bulldozing everyone in your life to just get around it. Even your therapist, who's like very nice, like a very nice and understanding therapist, was just like, I mean, sure, I'll try and help you out. And then when she was like, maybe I need another therapist. And then her therapist was like, if you think that's best. And she's just like, what, you're going to ditch me? I'm like, you're yelling at me. You literally come to my office and yell at me every other Tuesday.
I know, I was like watching that, I was like, I could not be a teen therapist. Like, I would just slap those kids.
And I would tell their parents, I'm just like, so I have a consent form in here. If they get a little rowdy, I will slap the shit out of them.
I will slap them a little bit as a treat.
As a treat.
But yeah, no, I think it just, I think it comes down to writing. I think it comes down to, like, making your... Because you can have your character do wild stuff as a result of something that happened to them. But, like, are you really making them sympathetic? Or did you just make the catalyst very tragic? Do you know what I mean? Like, I think what happened in this show, like, why I couldn't really super get behind her all the time was because all they did was, like, just had a very terrible thing happen to her.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that doesn't necessarily make the viewer sympathize with the character. It just makes them sympathize with the situation that happened. Does that make sense?
Hell is a teenage girl. That's
look,
all I
and
thought.
I love a good, like, female character who is just absolutely unhinged. Like, I'm all for it. But, like, I don't know. I, like, yeah. There were just certain points I was like, I can't get behind with.
I mean, I wholly agree with you. When it comes to her kind of, like, backstory type thing, what's really funny is, like, her whole, like, issue with her mom really, all right, so it hit home slightly.
I have a lot to say about this.
I was like, I knew you would because I'm like, we both have this a similar situation with our mothers where it's just like, I empathize with that situation, just the yelling. Just the yelling.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But at the same time, I was just like, I feel as though you're being very unfair to your mother of, like, in a lot of these situations. There are certain ones where I'm just like, oh, okay, well, she's just being, like, a teenager who doesn't want to do shit. And I'm like, understandable. I mean, we've all been there. But then there's other times where I'm like, I feel you're being a little bit unfair. Like, there were sometimes, I can't remember specifics. I remember there was the one scene where she said to her mom that she wished that she died instead. And I was just like, okay, that's very unfair. I'm like, that's a very mean thing to say to your mother. And you're going to have to, like...
Yeah, and did she, like, apologize for that? Because I was like,
don't remember her apologizing.
Like, that's something you kind of have to apologize for saying. Like, and they kind of tried to, like, they were, like, made that one flashback where they were like, oh, the mom said something equally mean to her. About her, not to her, but about her. And I was like, well, I don't know, like... Is it tit for tat? I'm like, here's my thought, and I figured you would have, like, similar feelings because, like you said, like, we have similar, like, situations. Like, on the one hand, like, I can't really sympathize with a character who likes their dad and doesn't like their mom. I just can't connect with that just because of my own life circumstances. So I understand that that's where this character was coming from. That's the perspective that they were writing. It was like, I really loved my dad. I didn't get along with my mom. And then my dad died. Like, I get that. But I really, and I think that this is a larger issue I have with TV in general, where they write mother characters as, like, demons for, like, telling their daughters what to do. And I'm like, that's what you have to do as a mother. Like, it's this very interesting phenomenon where, like, and I think it's in, like, it's TV, it's movies, it's media, mm-hmm. where, like, the mother character is, like, demonized just for doing things that a mother has to do.
Yeah.
And it's just this crazy phenomenon. And I'm like, I get that this is a teen show, and it's like, yeah, when you're a teen, you, like, hate your mom. Like, I get that. Like, I was a teen and I hated my mom. Like, it was, you know, we all went through that. But you have to also recognize that you're, like, writing a broader, like, the show, I don't know, has to take on a broader perspective in my mind.
Yeah. And I think they were trying to say that with the flashback when they were doing, like, the depictions of, like, when the father was there and, like, they were, I think she was yelling at her about, like, losing her sheet music or whatever. And, I mean, I didn't come from a two-parent household, so I don't know about that whole, like, I don't think she was intentionally playing her parents against each other. It was just kind of, like, one of those things where, like, her and her dad really have, like, this kismet and her mom don't click or whatever. And
yeah, exactly.
It was, like, one of those things where it's, like, the mom's, like, you're always, like, losing stuff, and, I mean, that could be true. It's just the dad is just like, oh, it's all right, kiddo. And then the mom's just like, no, I have to be fucking bad cop, and then you're a good cop. And then you know, when he died, she ended up just being fucking bad cop all the time because she still sees her like that. So I'm like, I mean, I feel like it's one of those types of things where it's like the mom is, she maybe had to, because we don't actually know the parenting dynamic behind that, like where he could have been like, I'm cool, fun dad. And she was just like, and I have to be fucking strict mom who tells her go to like piano recital or whatever.
Right, exactly. Because, I mean, I feel like in a lot of households, I, again, like, I don't know from experience, but, like, I feel like that's, like, a common thing where, like, the dad is fun and, like, the mom is strict. And it gets perpetrated in media, like, a lot. And I just, I'm sick of seeing it.
Yeah.
Like, I really am. I'm like, where are our multidimensional mom characters? Like, where are they? Is it just Nancy Botwin? Because
well, at the core of this, this is a traditional family values type thing. Like, they may be a modern Indian family, but they do hold traditional family values.
Totally. No, listen, I loved the mom. I loved her. Like,
yeah, I actually really cared for the mother figure. I actually like all of the characters. I just think the girl is going through some shit right now. And when she grows up, she's going to be like, wow, when I was 15, I was a cunt.
Well, I think it's like, I think Mindy Kaling, this is my, like, this is my theory. I think that she just has a lot of self-loathing. I think she hates being Indian. Like, I think she, like, she just has this weird, like,
well,
she,
I don't,
like, kind of hates where she comes from, and, she's trying to portray that in a certain way.
Well, I think she's trying to do the opposite, because when they do that episode where they do the whatever, I can't remember what their holiday was that they were celebrating, but they do that, they go to that high school and they do that celebration or whatever, and then she's, like, trying to make jokes with that one guy, and he is like, oh, yeah, like, when I came back from college, or I went to college, I, like, learned that being different and being Indian wasn't something to be, like, made fun of, because I'm like, I feel like that's something when you're, like, in high school or whatever and you're different, it's like you make a joke of it, because if you make a joke before someone else does, you're like, you can't hurt me with the joke because I'm in on it. So you get to work around that whole, like, self-loathing thing while still self-loathe yourself. That's right. Yes. Wording. That older guy was her talking to her younger self. Like, yeah, you think it's, like, fun to make fun of it now, but, like, you'll get older and, like, really appreciate the differences you have, like, being Indian and, like, having all this culture.
I agree. I don't know if she actually believes that. Or if she's just saying that. Like, I don't know. I feel like she just, like, wishes she was a normal white girl. And, like, because, I don't know. Like, just because, like, the whole thing, like, with, like, how strict her mother was and, like, the cousin. First of all, oh, my God, I loved the cousin. She was amazing. And, like, yeah, the whole, like, arranged marriage plot. Like, it just was very, it was a very interesting, where it kind of balanced the line of, like, I don't know, kind of hating these traditions, but also recognizing them.
Yeah.
It was a weird tone to me. I don't know.
How did you feel about her switching up after meeting the betrothal dude? I was just like, mm-hmm. It's like, oh, he's hot. Maybe I do want to get arranged marriage.
I knew that was going to happen. I totally called that. I was like, the guy's going to be hot, obviously. Like,
yeah, that's always the dichotomy. You're like, I don't want to marry someone I've never met. And they're just like, oh, no, we'll get you a hot guy.
Exactly. They knew. Her family knows.
But I do love the fact that they pointed out that weird thing. And it's not only in Indian cultures. It's in a lot of cultures where they're like, oh, marry your mother. It's like, that's very sexually confusing. Not only just relationship confusing.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't want that.
Yeah. I liked that the conclusion between her and the the guy that they wanted her to marry was like, that they were like, oh, I don't really want to get married right now, but like, hey, what if we like hang out a little bit more? Like, it wasn't like do or die. It wasn't like get arranged marriage or don't get arranged married.
It wasn't a shotgun. You know what I mean? It wasn't a shotgun wedding.
Right. They were just kind of like, hey, like, let's hang out because we're both hot. Anyway.
Yeah. So.
You know how that works.
Yeah. But yeah, overall, I did enjoy the show. So moving on.
I did too. We didn't even talk about the gay storyline.
Oh, well, honestly.
To be fair. It was shoehorned in there. Here's what I'll say. This was classic coming out storyline written by straight people.
Yeah.
Because it was like, first episode, she sees the girl in the hallway. Second episode, she's confusing feelings. Third episode, what do I tell my mom? Fourth episode, I can't tell my mom. Fifth episode, I tell my mom.
I tell my mom.
And I was like, hi, that's not how it works.
Also, I was just like, they were concerned about her fucking doing Latin, and you think that they wouldn't be, like, overreacting to the fact that she was gay?
I know.
I'm like, excuse me? I'm like, I would love to think that that there are several well-adjusted black families who would just let that go and slide, but I'm like, no!
Yeah, and then, like, the way, like, how accepting the mom was of it, I was like, again, like, this was written by a straight person.
I would believe that the dad was more accepting than the mom. Truthfully, I would believe that. Because the mom seemed way more controlling.
Yeah, totally. The mom seemed, like, so type A. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, and she seemed like she also, from that outfit, she looks like she might be a Baptist. So... Honey, you've got that storm coming.
I did like that, even though it was like she loved her dad and he died, the show did really focus on the relationships with the girls and their mothers. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a lot of that. It was like, oh, I have this relationship with my mom, and I like she has that relationship with her mom, and blah, 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 blah. So,
it was credit very,
to that. We love moms.
It was very John Mayer daughters.
Please don't bring up John Mayer on this podcast.
Speaking of music, well, I was gonna say, what do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about the half of it or Camel and Tuesday?
Let's talk about the half of it real quick. Okay. Because I felt exactly the opposite about the half of it that I did about Never Have I Ever.
So you love
which
it.
Is that no. I, okay. Let me explain. Never Have I Ever. I enjoyed it, but I didn't think the writing was like the best, right? Like there were tons of
oh, okay. So it's flip-flopped with this one. You thought the writing was good, but you didn't enjoy it.
Exactly. I was like, I was watching it and I was like, this is a well-done movie. Like, this is well-written. It's well-shot. It's well-directed. Mm-hmm. Everybody's giving it their best. I'm seeing it, but I'm not feeling it.
I agree.
I am not having any fun. I am depressed after watching this movie.
It's not a feel-good movie.
It's not. And I was just like, it went off, and I was like, I'm confused.
So is she. So is she. And hopefully she will come, and hopefully one day she will come back to the Lord's light, and she will give up her life of homosexuality. Hi, welcome to the 800 Club.
Can I just say what my favorite part was, though? My favorite line, and I love laughed out loud, and I don't think it was supposed to be a funny line, was where they were in the hot springs or whatever. They were, like, in that pool thing, her and the girl. And the girl was like, do you believe in God? And she was like, no, I don't believe in God. And the girl goes, that must be so nice. I laughed out loud.
I thought you were going to say the part where she said, are you wearing long underwear? And I was like, that should have been your first clue. I would have immediately been like, oh, so you're a lesbian.
I wanted everybody to have Southern accents. Like, I really wanted to, like, I don't know. I just, like, we just established this. I love trash, but I, like, I want to have fun while I'm watching something, and I just did not have fun watching this. I don't know. But I thought it was good.
I did, too.
I was, like...
I agree with you, because I did watch this the other day. I watched this on Monday. I watched this on Monday in the middle of the day, and I was like, I like this. I like the writing of this. I just didn't enjoy the story of whatever was going on, especially with... All right, so what I found very interesting is right before I watched it, I'm always on Twitter, so... Right before I watched it, I was on Twitter, and I saw a post that was just like, gay girl, dumb, straight guy is my new favorite friendship. Yeah. I was like, so, I mean, it's literally just the gay best friend trope flipped.
Yes.
And exactly. When is it never going to be a stupid straight guy? Like, it'll always be a dumb straight guy. And I just immediately started laughing because I'm like... Do you know what it is? It's the commonality. It's the common interest of both wanting the same thing. That's what bonds people. Because deep down, everyone wants a relationship with the opposite sex. Sometimes it doesn't have to be sexual. And then straight guys have to learn that.
That's true.
I think that's why this is... their favorite. They're just like, see, girls can be your friend and not want to have sex with you.
No, that's actually a really good point, that it is just the gay best friend flipped. I think people just, like, find it refreshing because it's not as, like, it's not as popular.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know, like...
Go ahead.
I liked that it was a movie about friendship and not about romance. I was like, I really like that the point is not that, you know, anybody got together. The point was about just making connections and being at a certain point in your life and then going to another point and, you know, the connections that you make and blah, 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 blah. Like, it was weird because it was still about... They still were talking about, like, love and, like, oh, I love her. And I, like, what is love? And, like, who and blah. And I was like, you're all 5 years old. Like, why do you think, why are you talking about this? You should be talking about, like, you know what? Like, I want to see teens having fun. It was so depressing. Like, they had one scene where they went to a party and she got, like, mildly tipsy. And then he was like, we should go home because you had a drink. I was like, let her vomit and black out in her own right.
Let her spiral. This is all about being in high school. She literally, this is like the first time she's gone to a party and hasn't been called a racial slur.
Which, you know, she would in that town.
I mean, bro, literally every time you pass her, he's like, chugga chugga choo choo. And I was just like, that is so fucked up. And then... What's funny is the friend I was watching it with, he was like, no, he says that because she's always riding her bike. I'm like, no, it's because her last name is Chu and he's a racist.
Yeah. He's a fucking racist.
And he was just like, oh. I'm like, how did you miss that?
Oh, so funny.
I was like on Photoshop half the movie and I like got that.
Amazing.
Well, overall, I agree with you that it was a very well-written movie, especially since when it comes to these teen movies as of late, they have not been well-written. And, you know, I would excuse that if they were at least fun, but they're not. And this had the misfortune of not being fun either, but it was well-written. And see, the thing is I like what you were saying about it being just about, like, connections and friendship and stuff like that, because that's fine. But the only issue with that is I'm like, I would have totally gotten that from the film if it wasn't, if we hadn't just kept getting those instances that felt very romantic between her and the girl. Like, I know that she, like, had a pining for her, but because of that, it, like, confused the tones for me, because I'm just, like, I'm going back and forth between this being, like, a romantic and a platonic plot, and that's what was, like, really confusing me, because I'm, like, I'm getting this platonic plot between you and the dude, and then, like, he mistook your connection for, like, attraction, which, you know, happens. I honestly enjoy that trope a lot. But
really, I hate it. I hate it so much.
Well, I like it in, I really mainly like it in, like, college things, because it makes me think of, like, the movie, like, The Rules of Attraction and shit like that.
Okay.
Not just the actual Rules of Attraction, but the movie itself.
The movie, yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make that clear, because it does sound like a, it sounds like an instruction manual.
Is it not?
No, it's actually a gay book that I do own. I don't know where it is. Oh, I lied. I actually do know where it is. I saw it the other day. So with
is that book that's from the 90s that we found at that bookstore? What was that book?
Wait, which? Oh, you mean the gay manual?
Was that it? Oh, that was so good. It was from like 1989. It was so good.
No, I think it was like 95 or something like that. It said something about, I want to say it said something about Will and Grace, so it may have been older.
There was, I think about this all the time, and I've said this to several people, and it had that one section in it that was like, if a man shortens his name, he's straight, and if he goes by his full name, he's gay. So, like, if he's straight, he's John, and if he's gay, he's Jonathan, or, like, you know, like, if he's straight, he's Mike, if he's gay, he's Michael, and, like... I think about that all the time because I've told that to several people and they're like, oh my God, that's true.
It is. It is like, very factual.
It's very true.
Except for when you come in contact with lesbians. Then it's Sam.
That's true. Well, you know, I don't know. There might be a lesbian manual companion piece floating out there somewhere that we have yet to find.
I would love to find it. It's from 1968.
It's all written in code.
What was weird was that one moment where he, like, kissed her, like, because he missed, you know, that mistaken attraction thing. And then he, like, accidentally outed her, and then she's just like, or he's like, it's a sin. You're going to hell. And then we just completely breezed past that. I was like, okay.
Funny. Well, he had a whole journey after that. Like, he saw the dad and, like, all that stuff. So
I just remember him doing the research on the computer and then the mom being like, are you?
Oh my God.
He's like, don't be gay. Or, like, it's okay if you're gay. And he's just like, I'm not gay.
Well, that was so funny because he literally, like, typed into his computer. He was like, how do you know if you're gay? And then he left that page up. I was like, dummy.
But at the same time, I was just like, why would you look up how do you know if you're gay? That's for yourself. He is, like, he was really stupid. Like,
he was pretty stupid.
He was insanely stupid. And it was so frustrating. I was like, he was like... His whole, like, crux of his character was that he was, like, kind of simple and couldn't talk well. And I was just like, this is very frustrating after a certain point. I'm like, at one point, I was just like, girl, you just gonna have to get him hooked on phonics. You can't help him. You gotta take him to some speech classes or something. Go to the learning annex. She ain't trying to teach him nothing. She just wrote stuff for him. I'm like... Can you, like, try and teach him? Give him a book?
That's true. He was, he could cook, so he's fine. He'll make it in the world.
I mean, that will work for some girl. She's like, he's dumb and knows how to cook. It sounds like the plot line for an LA show.
That would work for me. You ain't gotta be smart. But yeah, and I think, so the other thing that I think I didn't like about it, I'll just say one more thing. Mm-hmm. like a reason I didn't really like kind of have fun with it was because her character was very like, and the love interest, like it was very like, oh, like we're into all these obscure, weird, like literature things and like, we don't like normal teen stuff, like blah, blah, blah.
I hate that trope.
And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just like, that's tired. I'm tired.
I am so tired. It's gone from that whole like quirky manic pixie dream girl to well-read, sexy librarian. I'm like, what's going on here?
Well-read, sexy librarian.
I mean, basically, they're like, that well-read girl, she's got, like, a mousy face. She skulks around the local bookstore and gets her coffee every weekend. And I'm like, girl, I am tired.
Me? Me, but I'm 27. Not cute.
Just wait. You're waiting on your you moment.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Great. Can't wait for that.
Which will be funny because, like, stalking your social media is stalking a ghost.
That's so true. Nobody would be able to do that to me because I have no social media presence.
It is very true.
Like, her problem was that she, like, posted too much of what she was doing.
You're too involved in your own life.
Although, I do leave my curtains open. Gotta say, I do that.
Guinevere Beck strikes again.
Anyway. Those were my thoughts on the half of it. I did think it, like I said, it was a good movie. And I think it's a good movie for, like, teens to watch. I think it's a great, like, little, like, I don't really know what the word is, but, like, a good little notch in the, like, gay, the LGBTQ spectrum movie collection.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I thought it was a good, like, I don't know. It, you know, it should be up there with, like, Moonlight and stuff.
Yeah, it shoots over in that field. It works for the modern teen, the ones who are like, I like that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, well, as long as you guys aren't, like, super into, like, Sarah Burgess is a loser. Which I never watched, but I always hear bad things about.
I have never seen that either.
I'm gonna do it one day. I'm just gonna watch all the Noah Centineo movies and be very upset.
Yeah, I wouldn't put yourself through that, but, you know, you do you.
You know, quarantine has us doing crazy things. Some people bleach their hair. I can't because mine is already colored. So I have to do more adventurous things, like watch really bad shows. I have to get really
very
bad.
True.
I have to get torturous.
Very true. Very true.
So
I'm with you on that.
I guess we'll finish this out with Carol and Tuesday then.
Yes. Because I have literally nothing but good things to say about it.
See, I knew you would. And the thing is I watched it. This is another one of those things where just like a bunch of people will suggest something or I'll just hear people talking about it. And I'm like, fine, I'll go watch it. Because that's what happened with Game of Thrones. But with this one, I was just like, all right, fine, I'll watch it. It's been on my list for a minute. Plus, like, by the time I started watching it, I think the second season had already finished and had been out. So I'm like, great, I can watch two whole seasons. Because I would have been mad if I had to wait on that second season. But true. I really enjoyed this show. What's really funny, and this is kind of offhanded, but I was just reading something earlier about, like, AI creating music. And I was just like, oh my god, is it happening already?
Yeah, no, that's a real thing that happens, right?
I mean,
already a thing.
Well, I didn't realize that it was an actual thing. I didn't realize that AI had gotten to that point.
I don't think it's like a super pop. Like, obviously, this show is like set like way in the future where this technology is like rampant and super advanced. But I do think that we are at the point where that sort of stuff is possible. It's just not being done at that level.
Like something, a technology that's not being utilized that way. Well, it is now. They're like recreating. Like, the thing I saw was like, recreating an old Sinatra, or not old Sinatra song. It was like basically making an entirely new song that sounds like it could have been from Elvis or Sinatra, but it sounds like old. I don't know how to make how to word that properly. Because it, like, what I heard sounded like it could have been from, like, the 70s or some shit. Because it sounded like sound bits from other songs where they're just recreating his voice.
My thing is, like, why do you have to do that? First, like, why? Like, why? Like, why? Like, my whole thing with AI is, like, that quote that's, like, you know, we asked if we could, but we didn't ask if we should.
That's truthfully what it is. When it comes to AI, it's like, literally, why are they creating it? Like, what is the benefit behind it?
They're literally doing it to just be like, we did this. I'm like, I don't care. Like, there are plenty of bands out there that are like, you know, real human bands that are like paying homage to old sounds and like can probably do what you're doing with a computer. I'm like, I don't care that you've done it with a computer. It's less impressive.
The way you keep saying computer.
I will continue to say computer.
I agree with you. It's really, really what it is the, it does feel unnecessary. And when it comes to music, it's one of those mediums that is such a raw expression of emotion and feelings that you can't really recreate that kind of thing. And that's really what the show is about. They're like with Carolyn Tuesday, it's like their music makes you feel something and people are like really connect with it. And I'm like, yeah, because it's written by an actual person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Their whole, I mean, it was a very, like, it was almost like hit you over the head message, but I thought it was like really well done in that, you know, it was like just these, like, two young girls who, like, one had a keyboard and one had a guitar. And they literally, like, there was that one scene where they went to that, they went back to that big festival and they were like, oh, we were going to do something really big and flashy because that's what everyone's doing. But, like, we're just going to sit on the stage and pretend that you're in our house listening to us play. Like, that was their whole thing. That's like, the whole message of the show is, like, that's, like, what music is.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be, like, flashy. It can be stripped. When you strip it down, it's really about just the music, the song, and the connection that you make with it.
Yeah, exactly. And I loved it. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, you know, lesbians and women are, yeah, great.
Space.
That's what I got out of it.
I love the fact that they were on Mars. I love the fact that essentially this is...
The fact that they were on Mars made me laugh every time they reminded me they were on Mars.
Well, I love the fact that it's basically just two broke girls on Mars.
That's how they pitched it. They're like, you know that American show, Two Broke
Girls? What if they were on Mars?
My favorite thing was how they had the Grammys, but they were just on Mars. They didn't even bother to call it something else. They were like, no, this is just the Grammys on Mars. Oh, that made me laugh so hard.
This show had a lot of funny idioms, like just little things like that. There was, what was the other thing? Oh, there was the part where they did the immigration thing, where they were like, Earth is, like, shitty or whatever. And there was that musician who Tuesday was rapper. Like, yeah, and then she was just like, I know you, and he was just like, you don't know me.
But then he, like, that music video was so funny when it was like his music video where he was just like rapping
in jail.
And oh yeah, no, the one he did before that got him put in the jail.
Oh,
and it was just like, it was him and his, like, rapper crew, and they were just like throwing things in a burning trash can. He was basically just like, the world sucks. We're all going to hell. And I was like, yeah, get it.
I love it. I love that they literally, I feel like they represented pretty much every medium of music in the show. I mean, they didn't really do country, but I'm okay with that.
There was that one guy at the end who showed up during their
their
version of Live Aid, basically. I was dying at the end. I was like, why is this just Live Aid?
I know, like, and that was, what was funnier about that is Angela came out of the fucking hospital. I'm like, bitch, you need to be in the hospital. She's just like, I'm gonna come and sing.
Well, they invited her. They were like, Angela should come. I'm like, she's dying. Do you not see her pass out at the Grammys?
Literally just
Mars, Grammys.
She's just like, I won Best New Artist. And I'm just, I still don't understand why. Like, every time they played her songs, I was just like, none of these songs are better than Carol or Tuesday's songs.
Well, I told you, I was texting you when I was watching it, and I was like, literally her line where she was like, these songs, like, they sound like they speak to me directly, and they're just, like, really generic, like, pop music. I was like, yeah, totally, Angela.
They sound like they were written only for me. They speak my thoughts. And I'm just like, you have some very basic thoughts. I can do anything.
It's basically, it's like, I can climb every mountain. I was like, yeah, you can, Angela.
Good old Hannah Montana. That would have made more sense if they would have parodied that.
Oh, man. Is that who she was supposed to be? I guess, kind of.
I think that's what they were trying to do, because she was like a child actor who was trying to pivot into being a musician.
Yeah. Oh, my God. When her mom died, I was just like, what the fuck?
When her mom dad died?
Her mom literally just like face planted. They were like having a fight, and then she just like face planted on the ground.
And died. And
I was like, did you just die?
She showed really no inklings of being sick.
Oh my God.
She like coughed periodically. She would cough a little bit. She wasn't like that other dude who was like basically in a coffin.
Oh my God, I thought he died, and then he showed up at the end.
I know, that was...
I was like, David Bowie, you're here. Came to Live Aid.
He literally was just like dead. Like, they were there and he was singing and it was just like, oh, just passes out, and I was just like, is he dead? And they were just like, we should go.
I really thought he died.
And then it was just like, no, he was just sleeping. And I'm like, what was he in, an actual coma?
He was in an extended coma. Oh, that was so funny.
There are so many random parts of the show that were so funny. Like,
there really were.
What was the DJ's name again? Erdogan.
Oh, Erdogan.
Oh my God. I was like, why was he such a dick to both, like, Carol and Tuesday? I'm like, just do a song with them. Jesus.
He was a dick, like, all the way through, even when he had his little, like, thing that he went through. And then he, like, lost all his money. And then he was still a dick. And I was like, hello. Like...
Oh, so it wasn't the money.
It was just you. Surprise. Speaking of dicks, the Ishida knockoff, as I referred to him.
Oh.
He showed up at the end, and he was like showed up to Angela's hospital room. I was like, so I'm kind of your brother. Okay, I gotta go now.
Is that what, like, oh, I forgot about that.
He just like dropped that bomb. He spilled the tea and just like peaced out really hard. And I was like, why would you do that?
He was just like, you'll probably never see me again.
Yeah. He literally his line was like, I have to go. You'll never see me again, but let's meet again someday. Okay, bye. I was like, hi.
Girl, that part of the storyline made no sense.
Well, like, I don't know. Yeah. Because they got into it too late, where they like started to hint at like Angela's backstory and like the fact that she was like she was like a created, she was like a lab baby.
Yeah, like, and I was like, okay, yeah. Well, that was never hinted at ever.
So the only thing I realized at the very end, I was like, oh, they have the same color eyes, and like the fact that he like somewhat seemed to like care about her, but like other than that, the, like, whole, like, lab baby plot was like never ever hinted at, like
ever. Like they did the thing where they were talking about his AI equipment or whatever, and like the experiment that he had done, and being able to like use music to basically mind control people, and I was just like, what? I'm like, none of this was ever talked about. And then we shoot over to fucking Carol and Tuesday, and they're just like, we need to come up with an eighth song for our album. And their producer is literally
popping around in her living room
while their like producer shoots paintballs at them or some shit.
It really was. I mean, I like, it was funny how intense the show got in the like last couple of episodes, because I felt like most of the show was just like, okay, you're like following these two, and like there's a couple other plot lines going on, but we're really not going to focus on that. There's like a little bit of a like political thing happening. There's a little bit of a like social thing, like a little bit like commentary like happening in the background. But mostly you're just like, hey, are these girls going to make it to the Mars Grammys? Like, oh no. And then you like get to the last couple of episodes and it just like shit hits the fan like really quickly.
I mean, it really was like that. And I enjoyed the show overall, and I had no, like, real problems with that. It was just
I don't either.
It was just very bizarre, like, because I was like, wait, but what does this have to do with anything? Why? I was like, I we're trying to get to the Grammys, and now all of a sudden you're talking about, like, someone's dead grandfather or some shit.
Yeah, it's just like the last couple of episodes got really intense really quickly. But I was like, sure, okay, I'm here, so.
But I enjoy, yeah, I did enjoy it. I really love the soundtrack. I love the, okay, that one character, the one who they did the like duet with at the Grammys. Mm-hmm. I was trying to figure out who she was supposed to be. I'm like, is she Beyonce? Is she Rihanna? Because I was getting... I mean,
she's probably, like, a conglomeration of a couple different artists, but, like, in the future, you know? She's, like, future Beyonce. Because I think she was actually from Mars.
Oh, yeah, the woman, I think so. I forget what her name was.
Crystal?
Yeah. What was interesting is they kept having like this like little thing where it was like her in that one, I think he's like a funk musician, he's like a bassist or whatever, they mm-hmm. had like a thing or whatever, and I'm like, I get that all of these people have backgrounds and whatnot, but we never touch on any of them. Instead we just talk about random stuff like the Ishida dude trying to use his evil science for good. And I'm like, okay, but what does that have to do with anything? I think it's just because we started from the ground of, like, Carol and Tuesday, where they're literally, like, on the street, poor, and, like, playing for money. And then they shoot up way over there. And I'm like, this is a different show.
Yeah.
Like, I just want you guys to know this is a different show that you're doing over here. That's fine. I might watch that as well, but
I think it had a very fast trajectory.
Yeah. That storyline seems like it would have played more into something like if they were doing a singing version of Tokyo Mew Mew or something.
Wasn't that about girls being cats?
Yes.
That was a bop.
Cats being girls being girls being cats.
Girls being cats being cats being girls. Now we're just getting into Josie and the Pussycat. Since happening here.
I love Josie and the Pussycat. Honestly, there was also that theme in there as well. Because in Josie and the Pussycats, they had the mind control music. So I definitely thought about that when I was watching this show. I was like, maybe they were watching that as well. I'm really hoping that this show has a third season. They haven't really said anything. And you know how, like, animes usually knock off at around, like, 24 episodes.
Yeah, I really don't think... They ended it, and they were like, Carol and Tuesday will continue, ... And then it was like, in your mind. And I was like, what the fuck?
I know. I was like, what the fuck does that mean?
What does that mean? Tell us.
I'm like, is that supposed to be the end of the story? Because honestly, that is a very unsatisfying ending. That's all I have to say. If that is the ending, it's very unsatisfying.
Weren't satisfied by Live Aid? It was a great ending. I was like, great, they all came together and they sang.
Again, it was just very abrupt and there were certain parts that made no sense.
It also, I couldn't stop thinking about the episode of 30 Rock where they like sort of did like a Live Aid like special where they just they had to get a guy a kidney, so they got all these musicians to come together and they were like, just give him a kidney. And I was like, that was all I could think of.
I was thinking of We Are the World
anyway. Yeah,
we're all children of Jesus.
No, we're not.
But
the other thing I was gonna say is the animation, like while people were dancing and singing, I was like, this is so fucking good.
I know.
Like it literally looked like they motion captured like human beings like dancing.
I think they did. They had to have, because the movements were too fluid.
It was so good. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Made it really interesting because I was like, honestly, like, you couldn't do this if the animation wasn't that good, because it wouldn't be as interesting to watch, because you really were watching, like, a lot of performances. Like, I had, like, that whole, like, middle section where it was literally just Eurovision.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're just watching Eurovision. Like, it was just, like, performance after performance. And I was like, this wouldn't work if you didn't really, like, capture these performers.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. I thought that was really good. That was, like, a really, really cool aspect of the show that they, like, nailed.
Yeah. What's funny is I think... I like how we just glossed over the one villain character that they had with the crazy girl. What was her name? She had a French name.
Oh, the crazy lesbian who bit Tuesday.
And
she,
then,
like, bit her on the neck. I was like, hello?
And then burned her hand.
I forgot about her. She was, like, early on. I forgot about that.
Yeah. That was pretty early on to get a crazy fan.
That was quite the time. Well, it, like, she was a fan, but she was also competing in the Eurovision contest. So I was like, okay, are you just, like, you're nuts.
You're a real oddball, aren't you? You're like, I'm a musician, but I'm also a crazy deranged fan. But I also think that we should be a duo. And I'm like, girl.
She's multifaceted.
She's got multiple voices in that head. But her song did slap. Her song was like one of my favorites from the first season.
Oh, yeah.
The French one. Right, yeah. It was a very good one. I mean, I encourage you listeners out there to definitely go. If you don't watch the show, at least just hit up the soundtrack. Because it's good. I mean, all the songs are in English.
Yeah, which I thought was a really smart choice also.
Yeah. It has a lot more, I think that gives it a lot more international appeal. But in general, I think like all of the songs may have just been performed by artists from around the world. So who knows where they actually came from?
Yeah, that's true. I think also the characters were supposed to be speaking English.
Yeah.
Because... even though, like, it was an anime, so it's from Japan, so they're speaking Japanese. But, like, I think, like, in the canon of the world, in the universe, like, they actually are supposed to be speaking English because that's, like, the language that came from Earth to Mars.
Yeah. I mean, that would make sense.
Because all of their names are English, like, very English.
Yeah. I didn't really think about that. There's just so much of the worlds of theirs that I'm unaware of, but
yeah.
Well, it'll continue on in our mind.
In our minds. No, it was good. It was good world building. Cause I feel like I want to know more about how Mars like functions and stuff. And they did a really good job. Cause it like, wasn't, it was like a really good backdrop without going too much into it.
Yeah. I agree.
So.
Well, it's that time, listeners, where we blast off.
I thought you were going to say blackout.
Well, that too.
Honestly, either could be true.
Blast off or blackout into the future. What's going to be our next episode? Did we figure out, did we already start watching stuff? I can't remember if we branched off into a new topic yet.
I don't think so. But I think we should indulge in something really terrible.
Oh, that does sound good.
I'm in the mood for something really bad.
I mean, I do always suggest re-venturing Glee. I do have a lot of free days.
Oh my god. I feel like that's going to take me forever, though.
I think it is 6 seasons. I mean, we can
only... Oh my god, that's so many.
We can do it in blocks. We could just do, like, the first one or two. I mean, I think the first one's, like, 22 episodes. So we could just do the first one, because that seems like a big enough commitment.
Just the first season?
Yeah. We'll slowly venture through it. It's like how we do Yu-Gi-Oh!
That was years ago, and we still have not done part two.
Well, we're watching 5Ds now.
Yeah, we jumped to a whole other series. Just to avoid continuing watching.
I think what it is I know with Yu-Gi-Oh! There are certain parts of this... I remember watching it live, and I'm like, there are certain parts that leave a lot to be desired.
For sure.
Like the Seal of Ori Kalkos arc. I'm like, ugh, I remember that arc being unnecessarily long.
I feel like all you have to say is Seal of Ori Kalkos. That's it. That sums it up.
Yeah. Maybe we should just skip all the way to the last season of Yu-Gi-Oh! where they do the thing where he's in Egypt. Just so
that would be about that. Just so, yeah, wrap it up.
Oh yeah,
because a lot of it is very. They just like made a lot of stuff up to like fill the anime because they wanted more episodes.
Yeah, I mean, we already got through the fun part, which was Domino City and the very first arc, which was balls to the wall.
I mean, if we already got through the Ishtars, then it's like after that, it's just like meh.
There's nothing to look forward to at that point.
That's in my humble onion.
Okay, so we'll do one of those. Probably Glee, though. Unless we come up with something worse.
I am so excited. Yeah, we'll decide. If we find something worse, then we will.
Ugh, I'm really just looking forward to being able to reference multiple or many of these random videos that I see on Twitter where they'll be like, why was Glee an actual show? And I'll just be like...
That's a great question.
It'll just be Artie rolling into the pool in his wheelchair. It's like, why did he do that?
Why did he do that?
There is no answer. The answer is there is none.
Because Ryan Murphy is out of control. That's why.
Speaking of which, I saw something earlier today that said Macaulay Culkin and Kathy Bates are supposed to have crazy sex on his American Horror Story season, like his newest one.
Thanks. I'm good.
Thank you. I'll take the check.
Thanks. I gotta go.
I really don't know how to feel about that, and I'm like... Literally, there's a writing intern somewhere working for him that is terrorized by his dream journal.
His dream journal.
It's nothing but sexual nightmares. It's just like, you were to notate this and bring it to his office on Monday morning. And I'm sure if we hear their tell-all book, they're like, I still have nightmares.
I want a show about that. A parody of like what it's like inside Ryan Murphy's writing rooms, and it's just him terrorizing all his fucking staff.
Like Reno 911 style.
Yes. Oh my god, that'd be so good. No, because I was looking on Netflix, his new show Hollywood like popped up, and I was like, how does he get such a good cast like every time? Because his shows are such fucking garbage. But he always gets a really good cast.
Yeah, I did watch that show in its entirety as well.
How was it?
All in one sitting. It's only 7 episodes, so it's not very long. But it was very campy. I mean, it's fun. It's fine. It's very Ryan Murphy. I think him limiting himself to that small amount of episodes was a very good idea. Because usually that's the problem with his stuff. It goes on too long and they run out of things to do. But with this, I feel like it was the right amount of episodes for what they were going to do. But it also reimagined some parts of history because I'm just like, hello, racism. Hello, homophobia. Those still existed back then. Also, misogyny. Yeah. There were some things where I'm just like, that, nope, no.
Yeah, I was reading a thing that was, not to get, way off topic and start talking about Ryan Murphy, but I was reading one thing that was, he just, made up this character that was, he was the first, black producer or something, and it was, no, actually, the first black producer was, back in 1910, and, that's totally a inhistorical fact, and he just, is pretending it's this other guy,
Yeah, especially since there are certain parts where he's, because there's a part where, this writer, he writes a story about, Peg, I forget what her last name is, but that was an actual person who, an actual actress who jumped off the Hollywood sign.
Mm.
So I'm like, that's based in actuality. I believe, there's, this fuel pump that's basically, a dispensary for horse, for little gigolos. I believe that is actually based in historical fact. There are some bits of it that are part of actual history, but then the rest is, fully imagined. Reimagined.
But, why would you...
Reimagine that?
These specific things that are whatever. I don't have the energy for Ryan Murphy. This is why we can't do Glee, because I'm already tired.
Well, see, with Glee, we don't have to worry about historical fact. It's just nonsense. Also, they don't adhere to their own canon, so that's kind of the funny part. They're like, continuity? Don't know her.
See, I am already exhausted. I also forgot to tell you that while I was watching Carolyn Tuesday, I took this screen cap. I took this picture off my phone because in the Live Aid performance, this is not going to translate to audio, but Trixie Mattel was there.
Oh, I totally forgot about I can't believe Trixie Mattel is still alive then.
I was like, is that Trixie Mattel? It looks just like her. It's so funny. Anyway.
Yeah, imagine an animated version of Drag Race.
I would watch that.
I think we all would watch that. I think we all would watch that.
And we all sing. All right. Yeah. Anyway.
So we'll be back with something terrible that we watched. Don't worry, guys. We're professional.
Be back with more nightmares.
We're professional researchers. We'll figure it out.
Absolutely.
As always, it's been Daphne and Velma.
Which is which? Let's not get into that.
I don't know if I want to open that Pandora's box, but...
No, which is which. You don't understand. Okay.
Thanks for listening, you guys. Bye!
Bye!